Good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of The Labor Exchange on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. I'm your host, Shannon Young. We'll be spending tonight's program looking at how healthcare workers in Colorado have been organizing to improve their labor conditions as the ongoing pandemic burdens their workloads and prompts resignations. First, we'll hear from registered nurses at Longmont United Hospital, who have spoken out about staffing shortages and working conditions at the hospital they say compromise safety and their ability to provide a quality standard of care. They began an effort to unionize with National Nurses United, and a vote was held in July. But Centura Health, the company that owns the hospital, challenged 6 unopened mail-in ballots from the election. Without counting the unopened ballots, the outcome of the election is in favor of nurse unionization. But without a certified outcome, the nurses have been unable to bring administrators to the negotiating table. The National Labor Relations Board ruled last week to open the remaining ballots. At a rally held in front of Longmont United Hospital December 2nd, intensive care unit nurse Stephanie Chrisley spoke at length about the conditions which led the nurses to organize. The following is her speech.
I'm speaking with you here today because I love being a nurse, and I love working at Longmont United. I want to stay here for years to come. When I was in nursing school, I had 2 family members who in quick succession were admitted to Longmont United. And I immediately knew that this is where I wanted to be a nurse. This is where I wanted to plant my roots. There's something really special about the community here at Longmont United. And I hear it all the time from patients, from family members, from traveling nurses that come in, and from new staff that start there. Longmont is my home. I'm raising my family here, and I want to know that if my family, my friends, or my neighbors need to be admitted here, that they will get the best safety standards that we have to offer. This past year, as you can all imagine, has been one of the most difficult as a nurse. But maybe not exactly for the reasons that you're thinking. We reached out to National Nurses United after growing tired of getting nowhere using our existing channels to express our concerns to administration. We tried to sound the alarm far before the start of the pandemic. And COVID has only exacerbated the crisis that was already developing. As we started to build our union and talk to our coworkers, it became more and more clear that nurses all across the hospital in all units were frustrated and tired of feeling unheard. When we went public with our unionization efforts earlier this spring, management worked hard to fight against us. Suddenly, where there should have been newly hired nurses, there were anti-union consultants roaming around the hospital. We were told they were there to provide us neutral information about labor laws and unions. Yet the informational sessions that were strongly encouraged to attend by management always painted unions in a bad light. Managers would approach nurses one-on-one, and they even texted, called us, and announced daily during staff huddles that we should vote no. We were shown vote no videos during staff meetings, and we would receive different flyers each day from management, telling us why unions are bad. And we even had them mailed to our homes. The harassment, intimidation, and surveillance efforts throughout the hospital were non-stop. Despite management's best efforts to stop us, we finally had our election on July 7th of this year. We came out ahead, so far, with more yes votes than no votes. as well as a handful of challenge ballots. We know that they're hoping, so long as those ballots are unresolved, they can delay negotiating with us over what we deserve. Since our election in July, we have lost roughly 80 RNs at Longmont United. This is nearly a third of our nursing staff. Some of these RNs have worked at the hospital for 2-3 decades. Many didn't want to leave, but felt they had no choice. Some of those RNs who left are new grad nurses, who after a year and sometimes even less, left the hospital questioning if nursing was even right for them. They were put in unsafe and highly stressful situations day in and day out, often missing breaks and meals. And most of those nurses we've lost have not been replaced. This means that we are incredibly short-staffed across the hospital. In my unit, the ICU, we care for the sickest patients in the hospital. And for the higher acuity patients we're seeing, the nurse should have no more than 2 patients to care for in order to give them the critical care that they need. In the last few weeks, we have regularly had RNs taking 3 and sometimes 4 patients at a time. This is day in and day out. And we are talking 4 ventilated, sedated, critically ill patients. The charge nurse on the unit, who's not supposed to take any patients and should be a resource for the nurses in the unit and throughout the hospital, now often has 2 to 3 patients of their own on top of the charge nurse responsibilities. In order to ensure that our patients continue to get the care that they need and we know they deserve, the ICU staff frequently do not take their meal breaks, and they even struggle to get off the floor for bathroom and 10-minute breather breaks. With the staffing crisis we are in now, our patients who are most dependent on us for all their care sometimes don't even get the small non-life-saving care that they need. Oral care, turning, walking. It puts them at risk for complications related to their hospital stay that are unnecessary. Most days that I'm not here, I receive alerts from the hospital asking if I can come in and pick up an extra shift, or come in early, or stay late. I'm a day shift nurse, so my day usually starts at 7 and ends at 7:30. Last week, I came into work for each of my shifts between 3:30 a.m. and 5 a.m. and picked up an additional 15-hour shift because I could not stand the thought of my coworkers drowning. This is not sustainable for me, for my coworkers, and it's not a long-term solution to our staffing crisis. In addition to being a nurse, I'm a wife and a mother of 2. And I have lately been in a state of chronic stress over the crushing guilt that I feel to ensure my patients get the care they need and yet somehow still care for myself and my family. As nurses, we want to be able to give the best patient care that we can. But this is impossible if we're not given the tools and resources we need to give that care. This has been especially overwhelming as we continue to see surges of patients here, across the state, across the nation, and a seemingly unending pandemic to complicate our staffing crisis. There have been shifts where my coworkers and I have broken down in tears at work because we are so frustrated and stressed that we weren't able to give our patients the proper care that they needed. I've had seasoned traveling nurses who've traveled for years prior to the pandemic comment that this is the worst, most unsafe assignment that they have seen and threaten to cancel their contracts. The stress levels and patient range ratios have continued to climb. Sadly, it's become somewhat of a joke amongst us that we don't have any tears left to cry. We're constantly hardening ourselves against the constant barrage of stress at work. It's been detrimental to our physical, emotional, and psychological health. And there's only so much that we as nurses can give of ourselves before there's nothing left to give. Over the past 5 months since our election, we've repeatedly approached administration to work with us to address our staffing crisis and to work to improve nurse retention. Not once have we gotten a response from them beyond, "Sorry, can't help you. Come back to us when you're organized, then we can talk." Myself and other charge nurses in the ICU have called on our chief nursing officer on multiple occasions to express our concerns that the staffing we had was incredibly unsafe, and there was no way that we could take another patient. She dismissed our concerns and told us everywhere short-staffed, figure it out, and continue to take the patients. I'm here to share with the Longmont community and the community beyond what nurses are experiencing every day here at the hospital, all while facing an administration that's committed to union busting rather than working together to improve conditions. This year in particular has shown us how quickly healthcare is evolving. And Centura has an opportunity to pivot towards the changing face of healthcare and put their focus on patients over profits.
That was Stephanie Chrisley, an intensive care unit nurse at Longmont United Hospital, speaking at a rally earlier this month. Chrisley works with Chris Kloster, who has been an ICU nurse for 32 years, 21 of them at Longmont United Hospital.
When I started here 21 years ago, almost 21, it was a small community hospital. It was the only hospital in town. And there was absolutely a culture of teamwork and respect, and you know, and the people here, you know, cared about their community. They wanted to take care of their community. The administrators were people that you saw at the grocery store or at your were in school with your kids or whatever. And it really continued to be that until, you know, 5 years ago or so when Centura acquired the hospital. And then, you know, it's more of just corporate healthcare.
Kloster says doubled up caseloads aren't just dangerous for patients, but also for the psychological well-being of those caring for them.
When the nurse to patient ratio is such that you have 3 ICU patients instead of 2, or, you know, it's hard to deliver the kind of care that for me is the standard. And I think that creates a lot of moral distress for people.
The December 2nd speak out by the nurses drew supporters from the community, including Longmont City Councilwoman Pauline Christensen.
Longmont United Hospital is called United Hospital because it was formed by the community for the community. Subsequently, it has been sold to a for-profit company that is allegedly based upon a Christian organization, and yet they seem to not be serving the community. They seem to want only to extract money at the expense of the nurses, the patients, all the aides and the people who work for the hospital, including the doctors.
The rally by the nurses may be the most public manifestation of staff grievances at the hospital, but doctors have privately left as well. Tricia Hartley is a charge nurse in the labor and delivery department.
We've been challenged recently because we lost our whole OB doctor group. And so, yeah, they left a few months ago. So right now our labor unit is being staffed by locum doctors from other parts of the state, sometimes even coming from different states like California, New Jersey, New York. The hospital is working on getting a new group of OB doctors, but one of them just started this week and the next one doesn't start until mid-December. So we're going to need to wait for them to build up clientele and have patients that are coming into the hospital.
With fewer patients in labor and delivery, Hartley says nurses from the department have been shifted or floated around to other areas of the hospital they may not be trained for nor comfortable with staffing.
We have NICU nurses who have been NICU nurses for over 30 years and have never taken care of an adult patient and have only taken care of neonates and very premature babies. And they're having to go float out of their comfort zone to be taking care of patients that are adults and very sick patients that they don't feel comfortable taking care of.
Hartley says retention bonuses and pay raises would go a long way to improve morale and stem the exodus, but that Centura Health has withheld those measures from nurses at Longmont United Hospital, even while implementing them in other facilities in their hospital system.
I would like to see the hospital implement the same retention bonus and raises that they are doing throughout the Centura Corporation here at Longmont. I don't think that we should be treated any differently than any other nurses through Centura. And I think that that would help not lose experienced, seasoned nurses who have worked here for over 20 years.
KGNU contacted Centura Health for comment and received an emailed statement attributable to Longmont United Hospital Interim CEO Christy Olson. It reads, quote, "The National Labor Relations Board, NLRB, held a mail ballot election for registered nurses at Longmont United Hospital in June and July 2021. The outcome of that election is still undetermined by the NLRB, and we have been working with the agency to resolve the matter. We believe this effort by NNU, that's the National Nurses United, is an attempt to draw attention to the union and move its organizing efforts into the public domain," unquote. Longmont Mayor Joan Peck summed up a common sentiment expressed by many at the rally, that the hospital is an important part of the local community.
I have lived here for a long time, and this hospital has been taking care of my family for decades. It is very, very sad to see that they are not taking care of the nurses who take care of us. So let's all give a hand to our nurses and support them.
You are listening to The Labor Exchange on KGNU. We'll be right back after this quick break. Healthcare workers at Kaiser Permanente Colorado ratified a new contract earlier this month. Joining me to talk about the details is Nate Bernstein, Director of the Healthcare Division of the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 7. Welcome, Nate.
Hi.
Can you first of all tell us how many workers this new contract affects and how long is it going to be in place?
Yes, first of all, thank you so much for interviewing me today. And this contract, we have a couple of different contracts. Here in Colorado, we represent the United Food and Commercial Workers Local Number 7, represents about 2,000 healthcare professionals, ranging from registered nurses to mental health professionals to eye doctors, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and a host of other healthcare professionals. We have two separate contracts here in Colorado, but we are also party to a national agreement that covers approximately 50,000 healthcare workers across multiple Kaiser regions from Georgia all the way to Hawaii.
And the new contract here in Colorado, how many workers?
It is a four-year contract, and it covers about 2,000 healthcare professionals here in Colorado.
And what prompted this latest round of negotiations? I mean, was it just time for the contract to be renewed, or were there some specific conditions that led to the latest round of negotiations?
Well, our national agreement actually expired on September 30th of 2021. It was a 3-year contract, so it went from October 1st, 2018 to September 30th of 2021. Our healthcare professionals have gone through and really put it all on the line over the course of the last 21 months, facing, you know, a historic pandemic that has really ravaged all of our communities. They've really put it on the line and sacrificed everything to make sure that our Colorado community had the healthcare needs it needed to get through this historic crisis. But on top of that, they have obviously been tending to the day-to-day needs, including chronic conditions of healthcare of the community, including chronic diseases, wellness needs, oncology, you know, cancer care, primary care needs, eye care, and all kinds of needs. And so they've been doing this while many people have been focused so heavily on the pandemic. These needs have not gone away. And in fact, in many cases, they've actually been exacerbated. And so we have, our mental health professionals have experienced a wave of needs that I think really tracks with, you know, the isolation and loneliness and mental health and, you know, drug addiction that has really ravaged our communities and in many ways has gotten even worse over the course of the pandemic. And so the contract was set to expire anyway, but our healthcare professionals were looking for ways in which we could help address their needs in the face of an ongoing pandemic, which included things like staffing, which included things like safety. And also, as we're all well aware of, we're now seeing inflation and other issues arise as a result of the pandemic. So sort of the downstream effects of the pandemic. And so that was, all of these things were meeting up head during the course of the pandemic. And so they were looking for their union, all of them, they were staying really united around what was really important to them throughout the pandemic. While this was happening, Kaiser Permanente thought it was time to actually start cutting costs. So while other health systems were starting to increase wages, putting more benefits and wages into, you know, their workforce, Kaiser Permanente was actually hatching a plan to drive a two-tier wage system, which we've seen, and we can go into some depth on if you'd like, about how that all came about and why that it was such a divisive and why so many of our members were not willing to take it and really mobilized and united around defeating the two-tier wage system.
Right. And two-tier wage system, that's a term that's been coming up multiple times in some of the labor disputes that are going on now. I mean, also in the food production sector as well. So just kind of zoom out a bit and explain what is meant by a two-tiered system.
Yes. So a two-tier system can be implemented with regard to various types of wages and or benefits. A two-tier system basically states that workers who start on a certain date will be hired in at with significantly lower wages and or benefits than the workers who were hired a day before. As we're seeing right now with the Kellogg strike, really this is a product of a divisive two-tier benefit and wage system that was implemented 5 years ago. And so companies seek to implement these really to divide workers and to try to drive concessionary benefit and wage models for years and years to come. And so it's not simply a matter of a one and done where workers on a certain date will get hired in at significantly lower wages and or benefits. Really what we see is the impact of this spans decades. And we've seen that in our retail and grocery sector here in Colorado. I should mention that we are the largest private sector union here in the state of Colorado. And one of our core industries is grocery. And they are currently in the midst of contract negotiations as we speak. And so we've seen this happen. What we know happens is basically those workers who were hired in at a lower tier, sometimes we're talking about, in this case, Kaiser Permanente was proposing wages that would have been up to 40% lower for new workers. What that would have meant was those new workers in the next round of negotiations would have been less likely to back the higher tier, the first tier workers' wages, wage increases, their pension, you know, making sure they had a secure pension, secure retiree medical benefits, secure active medical benefits. So it's really a strategy by companies to try to divide workers and to try to drive concessionary benefits and wages for oftentimes a decade or more through multiple rounds of negotiations.
Your job at the union entails advocating for healthcare workers. What are healthcare workers telling you specifically about how the pandemic has affected their well-being and their labor conditions?
Well, I think workers are fed up, they're tired, and they want something better. The healthcare professionals that we represent and those beyond those that we represent, tens of thousands of healthcare workers in the state of Colorado, they enter their professions because they want to make people's lives better, because they want to restore our communities to better health. And they expect their employers to provide a safe place to do that. And they expect their employers to protect them and to pay them and provide them benefits that are commensurate with the same mission and duty that they have provided to their patients. And so what we hear oftentimes from healthcare workers is that they had to fight for personal protective equipment, you know, at the inception of the pandemic. They have to fight for safe staffing. One of the things you'll note throughout healthcare is healthcare workers, they want the tools and the resources to do their jobs well. They want to make sure that their patients are being taken care of. And that, what that means is that the healthcare professionals and healthcare workers throughout Colorado also need to be taken care of. They need to make sure that they get their breaks, their lunches. They need to make sure that they get days off of work so that they can show up fully charged and ready to provide the excellent care that patients expect. And so they also, on top of that, need to get paid well, and they need to be given medical care and insurance. That means that their families will be taken care of. So what we're seeing right now is a lot of people often refer to it as burnout. Some people call it moral injury. These are terms associated with folks who've been asked and are expected to do so much, and oftentimes without the needs, without they themselves being supported by the health system administrators. So these executives and healthcare administrators need to look out for their workers, and they need to provide them the resources they need. And so we've seen a huge exodus of healthcare workers throughout the country over the last 21 months. And part of that is workers are voting with their feet and they're saying, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And I need to be supported. And so people are leaving because they're realizing that, you know, the leadership within their organizations are not, you know, exhibiting that same level of leadership and obligation that they themselves provide to their to the patients that are sitting in front of them. So that's really what we're hearing is burnout, increased workload, staffing needs not being met, and their voices are oftentimes not being heard by the healthcare leadership of various health systems.
Nate Bernstein of United Food and Commercial Workers Local 7, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Shannon.
And that's all the time we have for today's Labor Exchange. I've been your host, Shannon Young. If you'd like to make a comment on something you heard on KGNU, you can leave a message at our listener comment line at 303-447-9911. You are listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.